السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. أما بعد، we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker, our sustainer, our nourisher, our creator, the Lord of all worlds. We ask Him for help, we ask Him for healing, we ask Him for ease, we ask Him for prosperity, we ask Him for safety, we ask Him for security. And on this blessed Friday, we ask Him to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we have a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was once delivering a sermon. It was a Friday. A Friday like the Friday that you and I are in, but subhanallah, a fortunate Friday for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this hadith is recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is delivering the Friday sermon. So Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he reports that whilst the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was delivering a sermon in Medina, a man comes to the gathering. A man comes to the gathering and he says, Ya Rasulullah. Now the Prophet is delivering the sermon, the Friday sermon, and a man comes to the gathering and says, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going on with his sermon, and this man at the edge of the gathering was trying to get the attention of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, he cries out. Until finally the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at the man, because this is in the middle of the sermon. You have to understand, unlike other times, this is in the middle of the sermon. The Prophet is giving the sermon and the man is calling out, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at the man and he asks him, I'm paraphrasing, the narration goes along the lines of these words, the incident goes along the lines of these words. He asks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah. As in, he looks at the Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet now looks at him and asks him, what is it? What do you want? Now the man says, Ya Rasulullah, there is no rain. There is no rain. We are in a lot of difficulty. There is no rain. So please call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with rain. Call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with rain. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he raises his hands and he makes dua. Allahumma asqina. O Allah, make it shower. Let it shower. So Allah subhanahu, as in he makes dua unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, we ask you for rain. We ask you for rain. We seek rain. And my dear brothers and sisters, Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, who is the narrator of the hadith, he says that we looked up at the heavens. And you have to understand, the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very simple masjid. And there were certain places in the masjid that had a roof over on top. And there were other places where it was open, where you could look up to the heavens. And even the parts or the places where you had a roof, it was basically out of leaves and the fiber of palm. You see, so there were gaps. So the companions, they look up towards the heavens as the Prophet was making dua, Allahumma asqina, Allahumma asqina. They look up at the heavens and it was a clear day. Just imagine Friday, you know, right now, even in my country, if you were to look up at the heavens, it's a clear blue sky, despite there being, rain yesterday and day before yesterday. For those in my country, they would agree, and we pray that Allah makes the rain a beneficial rain. And wherever it is not raining, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the people of those areas with beneficial rain. Ameen. So now they look up at the heavens and the sky was blue. Not a cloud in sight. Not a cloud in sight. Not a cloud in sight. Then suddenly the clouds started to gather. It started to gather, started to become dark, and it started to rain. It started to rain. The dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was immediately answered. The companions, they look up at the heavens. The sky is clear, not a cloud in sight. And the Prophet is making dua upon the pulpit whilst delivering the sermon. Allahumma asqina, oh Allah, we seek rain, we seek rain. And then the clouds start to gather and it begins to rain by the will and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another narration to share with you all before I get into the topic and the content for today's sermon. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, a famous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He radiallahu anhu, he embraces Islam at a young age and he was an orphan. He lost his father. So he and his mother, now they go to Medina. His mother had not embraced Islam. So for Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in terms of family, in terms of direct family, it was only his mother. And for his mother, it was her son Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So, and you all know Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he was very close to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A real talibul ilm, a real seeker of knowledge, a student of knowledge. He would spend so much of time with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning from him, studying by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whenever he would go home, he would sit down with his mother and narrate to her. He would tell her all what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say. Now, as per this particular hadith, this particular narration, and it's recorded in the book of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, one day, he, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he was very excited, if you will, and he was with a lot of zeal, you know, informing his mother about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, and he was firmly inviting her to embrace Islam. Now, perhaps the mother at that time was, you know, maybe she was busy with something or whatever it is. She, you know, became annoyed. She became annoyed and she went on to say things that were not appropriate, if you will, towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he was sad. He was sad because she had said certain things that he disliked about the Messenger. He was so sad. He started to weep and he started to cry. And he runs to the Prophet of Allah. He runs to the Messenger of Allah and he says, Ya Rasulullah, please pray for my mother. Please pray for my mother so that she comes to Islam, so that she embraces Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that juncture, my dear brothers and sisters, as per the hadith, he raises his hands. Allahumma hdi umma Abi Huraira. Allahumma hdi umma Abi Huraira. O Allah, guide the mother of Abu Huraira. O Allah, guide the mother of Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, his heart was light. He was overjoyed. He was happy that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made dua for his mother. He now goes home. He goes home. He returns back home only to find, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, when he arrived home, I'm paraphrasing, the incident goes along the lines of these words. He knocks the door and he can hear this sound of water and the mother is purifying herself. And then she comes out, she opens the door, and after opening the door, she had, you know, after she had showered, she opens the door and she says, Ya Aba Huraira, O Abu Huraira, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُ I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And please remember salawat whenever I mention his beautiful name, my dear brothers and sisters. Muhammad is his slave and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu's joy, you know, it cannot be described. He was so happy. And he rushes now to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was shedding tears of joy, shedding tears of joy and happiness. And he goes to the Messenger of Allah and he says, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has responded to your supplication. Allah has answered your dua. And he has set on the right path the mother of Abu Huraira. And then now he requests, Ya Rasulullah, supplicate unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that he may instill love of mine and that of my mother too in the hearts of the believing servants, and let our hearts be filled with their love. Again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam makes dua, O Allah, let there be love of these servants of yours, Abu Hurairah and his mother, in the hearts of the believing servants. And let their hearts be filled with the love of the believing servants. In other words, let the believers love Abu Hurairah. Let the believers love the mother of Abu Hurairah. And let Abu Hurairah and his mother love the believers. And until today, my dear brothers and sisters, do we not love Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu? And do we not, for a fact, almost every talk, almost every reminder, almost every lecture, almost every sermon, we come across the name of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, because he has made mention of so many ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he states, in regards to this dua, that this dua was so well granted by Allah that no believer was ever born who heard of me but did not love me. Every believer who heard of me loves me, basically. That's what he's trying to say. Every believer who has heard of me or who hears of me loves me because of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Now, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what I hope to touch on for today's sermon, it's a very important topic. Given what's happening around the world, and not just in today's landscape, this is something that is applicable for all times. This, the importance of dua, and how much we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicating unto Him, and what are the ways, what are the etiquettes when it comes to dua. A few tips, if you will, in terms of getting your du'as answered by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Do you want your du'as to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then, O brother, O sister, listen attentively to these steps. Listen attentively to these guidelines. If you want your du'as to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to know the value of du'a and how important du'a is in the life of a believer, then listen very attentively to these teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So, before I get into the pointers, before I get into the guidelines and tips, there is a small tangent that I want to address. Now, we mentioned two incidents that took place during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So now one might wonder, this perhaps is only for the prophets of Allah, because when we go through the lives of the prophets of Allah, we see, for example, in the story of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, he makes dua and his dua is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the story of the prophet Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, we see him making dua and his dua is eventually answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the life of the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you can see, there are many, many, many incidents to prove the dua of the prophets of Allah being answered by Allah azza wa jalla. So one might wonder, perhaps this is something exclusively for the prophets of Allah. Let me prove otherwise by giving you a few more incidents. There was a ruler long, long, long ago. He was a diabolical ruler. He was a tyrant. He was an oppressor. And he had a wife. And I think you all know who I'm talking about. And a great prophet of Allah was sent to his palace, was sent to call him to Allah. But he chose the path of arrogance, the path of the devil. He chose to deny, he chose to reject, he chose to turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Fir'aun. So the wife of Fir'aun, she, when the message of Allah came to her palace through the prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, she embraced it. And she was the wife of this diabolical ruler, this tyrant. And he was keeping her well. He gave her every comfort, if you will. She was the queen living in the palace until he found out that she had embraced the message of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The minute he found out about this, he started to inflict torture upon her. And he tortured her so much, that at one point she is being tortured, my dear brothers and sisters. She is being tortured for what? For turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She is being tortured to the extent Allah mentions in Surah Al-Tahrim, which is the 66th chapter, ayah number 11. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِندَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. And Allah sets forth an example for the believers. Who is the example? The wife of Fir'aun, who prays, who makes dua. What does she say? She makes dua. So what's the dua? And by the way, this dua has been captured in the Quran. And we read it on a regular basis. Such a powerful dua. This dua, Allah captures it in the Quran.
إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ.
Oh my Lord, build a house for me near you in paradise. Look at the beauty of the dua. She chooses her neighbor before the house. Jar qabla dar. Jar qabla dar in the Arabic language. Jar means neighbor. Okay? And dar means house. So she chooses her neighbor. She wants to be next to Allah. Close to you, Ya Allah. A palace, a house for me. وَنَجِّنِي مِن فِرْعَوْن. And save me from Fir'aun, وَعَمَلِهِ, and his evil deeds, وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ, and save me from the wrongdoing people. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he mentions in his tafsir, that the minute she made this dua, the dua has been captured in the Quran, and we're going to read it. Until the end of time, we're reading it. No sooner she made the dua, the heavens split asunder, and her place, her house in the heavens was shown to her. Now she is being tortured. She is being tortured and she's suffering. And at this juncture, her house in the heavens, her dua was answered and her house in the heavens was shown to her. And now her heart lightens, her face lightens. And she starts to smile. And the people inflicting the torture upon her, they were confused. We are inflicting torture. And instead of being in pain and crying, why is she smiling? They go to Fir'aun and they say, your wife has lost it. Your wife has lost it. We are torturing her. We are inflicting torture upon torture. We have intensified the torture upon her. And here she is smiling and laughing. Now Fir'aun could not believe his ears. He wanted to see this for himself. So he comes to see it. And by the time he comes to his wife, she had breathed her last and Allah had taken her soul. So my dear brothers and sisters, in this incident, in this story, you can see that the answering of du'as was not something exclusively for the prophets of Allah. You and I, it has been prescribed upon us as well, du'a. Turning to Allah in dua, supplicating unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have so much to supplicate for, my dear brothers and sisters. Now let me mention very quickly the guidelines that we have in place for today's sermon. Guideline number one, my dear brothers and sisters, when it comes to dua, I want you all to bear in mind. And this is a notion that has to be set in place very, very appropriately. A lot of us have got derailed thoughts when it comes to this part of dua. My dear brothers and sisters, dua is an ibadah whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers your dua or not. You have to bear this in mind. Dua is an ibadah. You know, you would have heard, you would have come across this statement, and at times it would have cropped up in our own hearts too. You know, I've made so much of dua, but Allah is not answering my duas. So we turn our backs on dua. Subhanallah. That is not appropriate for a believer. Now, when it comes to, when you consider dua as an ibadah, it is like salah, it is like zakah, it is like sawm, it is like hajj, it is like umrah, it is like sadaqah. Now, when you pray, do you tell yourself, you know what, I don't think Allah is answering my salah, so you know what, I'm not going to pray. Is it appropriate for a believer? Whether Allah is accepting your ibadah or not, that does not concern you and it doesn't concern you and me, it doesn't concern us. It doesn't concern us, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That leave it to Allah azza wa jal. But what's our duty? We are supposed to offer our salawat. Whether your umrah is accepted or not, that is for Allah to decide. But you have to go on to do what? To perform your umrah. So, guideline number one, pointer number one when it comes to dua, is to always tell ourselves that dua is an ibadah. And therefore, we should not be concerning ourselves with whether the dua is answered or not. Just as how we do not do so when it comes to salah, when it comes to umrah or hajj. Do people say that, you know what, I don't think my umrah is going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you know what, I'm not going to go on umrah. No. We go on umrah, we go on hajj, and we fast the month of Ramadan with regards to it being accepted by Allah. We hope for the best and we strive to ensure that we do it. You know, we strive to ensure that we do it to the best of our capacity, to the best of our abilities, so that it is, inshallah, accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, when it comes to dua, we have to bear in mind that we have to remind ourselves that dua is an ibadah. Dua is an ibadah. Therefore, you should not concern yourself primarily as to whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to answer your dua or not. Allah says in the Quran, Surah Ghafir, فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Invoke or call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مُخْلِصِين. مُخْلِص comes from ikhlas, with sincerity, with ikhlas. Turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guideline number two. Now this is an important one. I want you to all pay an attentive ear. When making dua, use the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Noble Quran in Surah Al-A'raf, which is the 7th chapter, ayah number 180, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Allah has the most beautiful of names. Allah has the most beautiful names. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. So call upon Allah using those names by them. Now my dear brothers and sisters, you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has beautiful, beautiful names. And some of you might be familiar with the hadith that talks about Ismullah al-A'zam, the greatest name of Allah azza wa jal. When you invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using the greatest name of Allah, the dua is answered by Allah azza wa jal. Now what is this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'm sure we would all want to know. Now we have different understandings put forth by scholars. There are some scholars who would go on to say that perhaps it is this particular name, perhaps it is that particular name. There are some who would say that this is something only known to the very righteous and the ones who are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's one opinion put forth, and I'm going to be sharing two opinions, if you will. The two opinions that are close to my heart, and we say that Allah knows best in this regard. So opinion number one is that the greatest name of Allah Azza wa Jal is the name Allah. Because my dear brothers and sisters, every name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points towards the name Allah. The name Allah. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. And similarly in Surah Al-Hashr, what does Allah say?
هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو.
He is Allah, there is no deity worthy of worship other than Him. Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir. All these names, my dear brothers and sisters, see, they point out to Allah. Al-Malik, the name Al-Malik is from Allah. The name Allah is not from Al-Malik. Al-Malik is from Allah. Al-Mutakabbir is from the name Allah. You see, so all these names point out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So based on this opinion, Allah is the greatest name. The other opinion, my dear brothers and sisters, is that Ismullah al-A'zam is not one name. And this is another opinion that is close to my heart. Ismullah al-A'zam is not one name. But instead, it depends on the situation. It depends on your dua. It depends on your need. And this is why it is important that we study the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we know which name to use at the appropriate moment. So for example, you are making dua for cure. Now we are in the middle of a pandemic. Yes or no? We're in the middle of a pandemic. So we're making dua for healing. We're making dua for a cure. So which name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will you use? Which name? Ash-Shafi. Ash-Shafi. Allah is the curer. Allah is the healer. Allahumma anta ash-Shafi. La shifa'a illa shifa'uk. Oh Allah, you are ash-Shafi. You are the curer. You are the healer. There is no healing. There is no cure apart from your cure. So depending on the circumstances, depending on your need, you need to be able to do what? To unlock the appropriate name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make your dua. But a lot of us, what we do is we only use one name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because we're not familiar with the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this should encourage us to spend more time studying the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and using the names of Allah when it comes to our du'as. If you want your du'as to be answered by Allah azza wa jal. Point number three, when it comes to your du'as, as a believer, you need to bear this in mind. When you make a du'a, one, your du'a is answered in this world. One, your du'a is answered in this world. If not, number two, your dua will mitigate, as in it will reduce the intensity of a trial that you are in, of a calamity that you are in, or of a trial or calamity that is on its way. Let's say, for example, you are sick. Let's say you are ill. May Allah protect you. This is just for the sake of an example. Or an individual's child is sick. May Allah protect our children. Ameen. May Allah protect our families. Ameen. And now what does he do? He's making dua for cure. He's saying, Ya Allah, cure me from this sickness. Ya Allah, cure my child from this illness. Now let's say, if it had been decreed that the child's illness is going to become worse, so much to the extent that he is going to be on the verge of death, subhanallah. But by this individual making dua to Allah, Ya Allah, cure my child, Ya Allah, cure my child, what happens is the intensity of the trial is blocked by this individual's dua. The intensity of the trial is blocked by this individual's dua. And what happens is the child's sickness does not become worse. It does not become worse. It was supposed to become worse. The child was going to go onto the verge of dying. But because this person, the father, is making dua, Ya Allah, cure my child. Ya Allah, cure my child. The intensity of the trial, of the calamity, is mitigated. But at times because we fail to understand that. What do? We say, you know what, I've been making so much of dua, so many weeks, so many months for the cure of my child, but Allah has not answered my dua. Allah has not cured my child. Failing to understand that your dua has been answered in a way that is appropriately deemed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the trial has been mitigated. Another example for us to understand is, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Allah is above all these examples, but for our weak minds to comprehend, to try and comprehend. And this, I heard it from another sheikh, another scholar who was explaining this, but it's a beautiful point and I'd like to share it with you all as well. Let's say there is an employee, okay, working for somebody in a company, all right? Now, due to, and that's what's happening, subhanAllah, around the world, employees are being laid off, salaries are being slashed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. May Allah help us with our economies. May Allah open doors of barakah and prosperity for all of us, especially for those who are suffering financially. So let's say now this employee, for the sake of this example, in the company that he's working, the directors, if you will, or let's just go with one boss. The boss has decided, maybe due to poor performance, or perhaps because they are cutting, you know, costs and whatnot, to reduce his salary. Let's say he was earning $500. Let's say he was earning $500. Now it has been decided, okay, they've had a meeting and whatnot, and it has been decided to reduce his salary to $250. From $500, they're going to halve it, reduce it to $250 because, you know, let's say there are a number of reasons. Now, the employee is not aware of this. He is clocking in his hours, he is doing hard work, and he doesn't know that his salary is going to be halved. Now, what does he do? The decision has been made in the morning, and they're going to be informing the employee, let's say, in the evening about this. In the evening, he goes to meet the boss, and he puts forward a request letter stating that his expenses have gone up and whatnot and stuff like that, that he would like for an increase in his salary. So I hope you got the example. He's currently earning $500. The management has decided to cut his salary and bring it down to $250. But before they inform him of that decision, he submits a request letter because he's not aware and he genuinely has needs. He submits a request letter for his salary to be increased to $750. So what happens now? In the evening, the manager gets the letter, the boss gets the letter, and he looks at the letter and he thinks to himself, here we are now about to inform him that his salary has been halved to $250 and he's making a request for his salary to be increased. So yeah, miskeen, you know, he's going to be in a lot of difficulty. So what do? They discuss again amidst themselves and they decide, you know what? Okay, we obviously at this point, at this juncture, we can't entertain his request for an increase in his salary. But let's keep the reduction of his salary on hold and let him go on with his existing salary. So now this employee is informed in return that your salary will remain a $500. Now this employee, if he is not aware of the context, I want you all to put yourselves in his shoes. How do you think he will think? He'll think, I submitted a request for an increase. I want $750, but they're just going on to pay me only $500. Little is he aware of the fact that if he had not made the request in a genuine way, his salary would have been halved from $500 to $250. Similarly, my dear brothers and sisters, you may be in the middle of a trial, and for as long as you keep making dua, your duas are at times answered in such a way that it mitigates the trial or the calamity or the challenge that you are in. So don't give up on dua. Don't turn your back on dua. Number three, if your dua is not answered in this world, and if your dua is not answered in such a way that it mitigates your trials, your calamities and your challenges, then your dua as a believer will definitely be answered in al-akhirah, in the hereafter. So don't ever lose hope when it comes to your dua. Guideline number four. Now, this is an important one as well. Guideline number four. You need to have good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when making dua. Hadith is reported by Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am as my servants expect of me, or I am as my servants think of me. If my servant thinks good of me, he will have it. And if he thinks evil of me, he will have it. So your thoughts. If you think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you can expect good from Allah azza wa jal. But if you think evil, so when you're making dua, so let's say for example, you're making dua with regards to seeking forgiveness. Ya Allah, forgive me of my sins. Ya Allah, forgive me of my sins. Some of us, you know, shaitan creeps into our minds and tells us, you know what, Allah is not going to answer your duas, or Allah is not going to forgive you of your sins. Now, we should not entertain this thought, my dear brother, my dear sister. We should constantly keep telling ourselves, Allah will forgive me of my sins. Allah will forgive me. Does Allah not describe himself as Ghafoor, as Rahim, as the most merciful, as the most forgiving? No sin is too big for Allah to forgive. Allah will forgive me. Allah will forgive me. So constantly, as you keep making dua, keep having good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next guideline, my dear brothers and sisters, is along with making dua, you need to strive to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through good deeds, through fulfilling the obligatory good deeds as well as optional nafil good deeds. This is of utmost importance. Would not suffice to only keep making dua, my dear brothers and sisters. You need to try, strive to get closer to Allah azza wa jal. We have a famous hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know what a hadith Qudsi is? It's not considered the Quran. It is from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but this is Allah saying this. So Allah says, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. He who is hostile to a friend of mine, to a wali of mine, a friend of mine, I declare war against that individual. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, my slave approaches me with nothing more beloved to me than what I have made obligatory upon him. By fulfilling that which Allah has made obligatory upon us, we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah goes on to say, and my slave keeps drawing nearer and nearer to me with voluntary good deeds, by performing nafil, optional good deeds. You see, zakah is obligatory. Zakah, for example, is obligatory. So you have to give out your zakah. If you come under the category where zakah is obligatory, then you have to give it out. By doing it, you're getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On top of that, if you also give sadaqah. Now, sadaqah is optional. It's optional. It's not obligatory for you to give it. But by giving it, you get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praying salatul dhuhr, praying fajr, asr, maghrib, isha is obligatory. You have to do it. By doing it, you get closer to Allah azza wa jal. By praying salatul dhuha, by praying the sunan ar-rawatib, the sunnah prayers before your fard prayers and after your fard prayers, by praying tahiyyatul masjid, by praying all these sunnah prayers, you get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah azza wa jal says, as he keeps doing nafil deeds, he gets closer and closer until I love him. And when I love him, Allah says, I am his hearing with which he hears. I am his sight with which he sees. I am his hand with which he seizes. And I am his foot with which he walks. If he asks me, I will surely give it to him. Now that's the point, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, when it comes to dua. As you get closer and closer to Allah through your obligatory and your nafil deeds, Allah is saying, if my slave asks me, I will give it to him. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Do we not have so many things to ask Allah Azza wa Jalla? When I say things, I don't mean materialistic things only. There are so many things, so many matters that we have to raise our hands unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us seize these guidelines. Guideline number 6 is that you have to ensure that your food, drink and clothing are halal. You have to strive to ensure that, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. If what you consume is not halal, if what you are wearing is not halal, you cannot expect your du'as to be answered by Allah Azza wa Jal. We have a famous hadith that talks about this, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam describes a man disheveled, he's raising his hands and he's making du'a. وَلَكِنْ مَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ. His food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothing is haram. غُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. He's been nourished in haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابَ لَهُ. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, how will his du'as be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it is of utmost importance that we strive hard to ensure that our food, our drink, and our clothing is pure, is halal. We have to strive for this with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it is of utmost importance that we strive to do this, that we strive to hold on to these guidelines and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking his forgiveness and asking him and him alone when it comes to our du'as, when it comes to our supplications. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, with that, I conclude today's virtual sermon. Jazakumullahu khaira, all of you, for tuning in from different parts of the world. I'm looking at the comments. Jazakumullahu khaira. May Allah bless and reward each and every one of you. Today is a Friday. And there are a few more pointers that I hope to touch on perhaps in another sermon, inshallah. There are places and times where your du'as are answered. And these are things that we need to seize. For example, you have on Friday a special hour where if you make dua during that hour, your du'as are answered by Allah Azza wa Jal. And we are seated on a Friday. So let us seize this day to make as much dua as possible, to send as much blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we conclude this sermon, we pray, Ya Allah, forgive our sins. Ya Allah, bless each and every one of us. Ya Allah, open doors of prosperity, of barakah, of healing, of happiness, of safety, of stability and security for all of us. And Ya Allah, just as how you have united us through this virtual platform from different parts of the world, we sincerely make dua unto you that you unite us in your beautiful and lofty garden in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wai, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu khaira. I look forward to talking to you all in another stream, inshallah ta'ala. Please do share this stream on your feeds as well, so that others can benefit and so that others can learn about this beautiful ibadah, dua, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khaira. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.